Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. Matthew, also went by the name of Levi, was a man that collected taxes for a living. And if you think that they are slightly despised in our own age, it was even worse then. Many of them skimmed off the top. Many of them kept their fellow Hebrew people under the thumb of an oppressive Roman government, especially in their own eyes. Matthew was a man that had very few friends except those that he made by unrighteous mammon. And yet, Jesus, seeing him sitting there collecting taxes at the booth, says, "Follow me." Perhaps many of you, like me, were called by God already as an infant. In the arms of your mother or your father or your godparents, brought to the font of holy baptism. As the old evil leaven of the sinful flesh, of the devil and the world were purged, perhaps that was how you were called by God. And you can't remember a time that you did not live for him. Or perhaps it was something later in life. Maybe a jarring accident, a death of a loved one. Perhaps it was one of those things that you were brought to the font, yes, in their arms, but for a time you fell away, allowing the world to have a foothold in your lives, and God has called you to return. Perhaps it is something on the level of a national tragedy. Perhaps it was 9/11, as it was for so many people on September 12th. Whatever it is that caused you to be here this morning, I thank God that he has called you. Jesus has told you to follow him. Even if the world doesn't like it, even if the devil rages against you, Jesus has called you to be where you are. Follow me. Do not listen to the lies of the devil and the world. Listen instead to my truth, he says. For my truth shall make you free. It will set you free from the bonds that you feel, from the lethargy, from the apathy, from the depression, from the pain. My truth, the truth, will make you free from all of it. Yes, you will still have hardships. Yes, there will be trials and tribulations. Yes, you will still have pain, but you will see that there is a reason behind it. And that reason is to ever draw you closer to me, he says. So Matthew arose and followed him. Do we hear his call? I know you did this morning. Do we follow him in the rest of our lives? Do we give up the evil that we hold on to as Matthew did? Do we recognize that sometimes the job that we have is not God-pleasing? Perhaps it is something where we do skim from others. Perhaps it is something where we're told to just do the very bare minimum to provide a product that will break in 5 years so that they have to buy a new one. Do we look for ways to actually help our neighbor, giving glory to God in our work? Matthew gave up the tax booth and he followed Jesus. Jesus at that meal with Matthew, held at Matthew's house with Matthew's friends, and Jesus is there. And the Pharisees question, how on earth would he be here? Why would he be here with tax collectors and sinners? He who claims to be the Son of Man, he who claims to be a rabbi. But they instead ask his students, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus stops an adulterous woman from being stoned to death. But in all of these cases, he does not tell them to just keep doing it. He called Matthew to pick up and follow him, to leave that world behind. With the woman caught in adultery, don't forget that they often will chop off what he actually says to her. After he said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone," and then says they've all left, he then says to the woman, "Go and sin no more." Jesus does not leave us stuck in our sin, telling us that it's okay. Jesus does not leave us in the delusions of the lies of the devil and the world and our sinful flesh. Jesus shows us the better way. And it's him. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. The church is very good at gathering, because that's what to congregate means. A congregation gathers, it congregates. And within these walls, the church preaches Christ and him crucified. It points the person sitting in the pews to their faults, to their sins, and to the end result of being stuck in them. And the church points to Jesus that shows the way out. But too often, we say, "You must come here." And that is absolutely the right thing to do, but not at the expense of also going to them. Every single Sunday, the church gathers because God has called us to do this. This is his house, filled with his beautiful and holy word. This is the place that he distributes his gifts. This is the place where you are reminded of holy baptism, where you hear the words of holy absolution, and where you receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We gather, but we also go. The world that is stuck in its sins and its darkness will not see the light of church if they refuse to enter our doors. They must see that light amongst them as well. I'm not telling you to go to the brothels. I'm not telling you to go and sit in those places of rabid sin. But there are plenty of dark places in our own communities that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many had written off college campuses as a place too dark and too devoid of God's word. Leave them to it. But yet God raises up faithful proclaimers of his word to go to those places of darkness and show them the truth of Jesus Christ. The world is hurting right now. Not just America, but the whole world. It sees the violence. How devastating it is when a man who is so diluted by the lies of the devil that he would cut down children as they were praying in Mass. How sad it must be to have the devil with such a stronghold on you, to have that delusion, to be against how God has clearly made you, male and female, for a beautiful purpose. To reject God's good order and instead believe the lies of the devil and then try to get the rest of society to follow those lies. How sad it is when a young woman is harmed and leads to death as no one would help her. How sad it is that death happens all throughout our world, that churches get burned down on Sunday mornings when the most people are there. Death, destruction, havoc, the devil's disorder are rampant. And the world needs Jesus. How can you proclaim Jesus to others when you do not have his word, his scrolls, internalized. God is not telling you to roll up the scroll and to eat it. God is telling you, however, to inwardly digest his word. This is a prayer that we as Christians often pray. And instead of taking the scroll and eating it, we place it into our minds and into our hearts. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. How can I give a defense of the faith? I've never gone to seminary. You don't have to go to seminary. You do have to read your Bible. By inwardly digesting God's word, you can give a defense of the hope that lives in you. By reading it in its entirety, but also you can do a search on the internet for specific things so that you can inwardly digest the words of God to give a defense to people who spout off the lies of the devil. But when the devil knows the word of God, and he tempts Christians who don't know the word of God, he has a larger foothold. We are called, all of us, to proclaim the word of God to those around us. There is a role for each and every one of you as the body of Christ to play in this life. Give consideration to the words of Titus. You will often hear me talk about raising children, of raising up these boys to be men, of raising up these girls to be women, of the importance of marriage, of raising these children to the glory of God. And often people will say, Pastor, I'm past that. My womb will no longer do that. My body cannot take it. There is work for you to do. Titus chapter 2. Older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. There is a job that God has given to you. If God has not called you to the married life, if he has instead given you the chastity of the single life, then live out your days for him. Find the best ways to serve Christ in his church. God has called you as well. Now, I know I do often spend time talking to people that are of younger ages, encouraging them to be built up in these things. And I'm going to do that a little bit again today. But this time, I'm actually just going to quote our Synod President, Matthew Harrison, as he responded to the events of the last month. His words. A note especially to young Christian men. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. 1 John chapter 2. The rise of radical ideologies has affected you deeply. Whether your ethnicity or your sex, or perhaps your perceived social status, much of your identity has been the very bullseye of radicalism's attacks. God-given and pleasing masculinity and strength, which demonstrates itself most beautifully and profoundly in self-sacrifice. It is ceaselessly vilified. The world has been fixated on everybody else's perceived injustices but yours. You and your culture, indeed all of Western culture, are the source of evil, they say. DEI has cost you academic advancement and employment. The leftist attack experienced in most universities has ridiculed your biblical faith and the very values you learned from your fathers and your mothers, grandparents, and your confirmation pastor. Values that taught you Christ, forgiveness, love, service, and vocation. You are called by Christ to bear up in faith at this time. You were baptized for this moment. The Bible calls upon men to honor and love their wives as Christ loved his church. Relationships with women are not about power. They are about responsibility that sacrifices self for another. Go to church. Excel in your vocations. Run for office. The biblical and Lutheran doctrine of the two kingdoms does not mean that you do not participate in the civil and political realm. Quite the opposite. We've never needed Christians more in our civic life. Volunteer at church. Talk to your pastor. Become the man God wills you to be. So that, whether or not gives you a bride, whether or not God gives you a bride, you can be a spiritual leader in your family, church, and beyond. Avoid bad places on the web. Turn off the video games and engage in physical activity. Avoid isolation. Confess the truth of Christ. Seek healthy relationships with young women who share your values on children and family. Wait on the Lord. He loves you. Think about becoming a pastor. Visit the seminary. Read through the scriptures or listen to the audio. 4 chapters a day and you'll finish in a year. And devour the Book of Concord. And to young women, find the young Christian man who will use his office as husband to point and lead you to Jesus. Love you. Rejoice in your gifts and strengths. And treat you as the precious gift of God that you are. Help him become the strong man of character and faith he's meant to be in Christ. Be open to the blessing of children. If our Lord does not call you to marriage and motherhood, trust in his plans for you. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Perhaps as important as anything, love those who hate you. We pray for repentance and faith in Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Those are beautiful words, crafted by a man who actually believes what he says. And they are words that are absolutely necessary for our culture today. We got into this mess because we rejected and eschewed the things of God's good created order. God has given all of us vocations in this life. Beautifully made we are, male and female, man and woman, boy and girl. These are beautiful and wonderful things because God has granted them. So rejoice in how God has made you. Do not be so overcome by the news of tragedy that you lose hope in the resurrection that is to come. Do not let the world dictate to you what you believe. Let God's word do that. Perhaps he has not raised you up to be the evangelist, the gospel writer, the pastor, the martyr that St. Matthew was. But you were born for such a time as this. The church sings. Praise Lord for him whose gospel your human life declared, who worldly gain forsaking your path of suffering shared. From all unrighteous mammon, O raise our eyes anew, that we in our vocation may rise and follow you. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.